Hey guys, I'm Jason Guymon, host of the King of Pressure Wash podcast. I am a self-employed entrepreneur. I grew my pressure washing business to $1 million business in just under 5 years. And now I'm helping hundreds of pressure washers start and grow their pressure washing business also. I'm helping you so that you can be the king of pressure washing in your area. Today's show is going to be an awesome show on the King of Pressure Wash podcast. Are you ready to get to the next level? Let's get started. What up, guys? Jason Guymon here with King of Pressure Wash. And tonight, I've been going over a series these last couple of weeks of how to start a pressure washing business and be successful. And when you are successful, this is the next step of hiring people. And tonight, we're going to talk about when to know when to hire, how much revenue should I be at, when should I hire. We're going to go about different ways of should I do the experienced person and how do I find people and where do I find these people at and who's the best person to hire, if the person that's got all this experience or whatever. And so tonight I've got, I've had him on a couple months ago or a year ago, Sean. And so tonight that's what we're going to hit on is how to hire people and how to fire people. Maybe even get into that conversation a little bit too, because you got to do that also when this is a business of what you have to do best for your business. And so before we get started here, again, this is brought to you by King of Pressure Wash. If you haven't checked it out, I've got a bunch of in-person trainings coming up, and Sean might even be at one of them coming up to some of my advanced classes that I've got to teach you how to grow your pressure washing and actually maybe Christmas light business. And so with that, Sean, let's see who all we got in here before we jump out of there. We got Mr. Yas Enterprises from Palm Beach, Florida, or Palm Coast, Florida. We got an old guy here, Brian Fletcher, out of Tennessee. And so we do have a few people on here. If you've got any hiring questions or any questions like that, just put them in the chat and then we'll get to those. But before we get started here too long, Sean, tell me just a little bit about who are you, where are you from, all of that good stuff.
Sure,
tell me your story of how you became a person that loves to recruit people.
Yeah, that's if you would have asked me 10 years ago, I would have said you were crazy. But I lasted in the corporate world for about a year, got out of that as quickly as I could and was pretty successful. Ended up getting I started and operated a mortgage company for 10 years, got out of that just in the nick of time, and then started a cleaning company. And I had the cleaning company in 2004, I think I started, had about 40 technicians, and then sold it to Blue Sky Services in 2015. And Blue Skies and I kind of stuck around, and I stayed aboard. They were paying me monthly for my business. We ended up, as part of the growth strategy, buying other cleaning companies. And so we started to expand by acquisitions. The next thing we knew, we got just north of 100 employees, and we looked around going, we better start a recruiting division, because that's all we do is recruit. And I said, well, you know, I'll put it together. I'll get it figured out. And it took me about a year and a half to get it figured out, and a lot of research. I called a lot of people that were smarter than me and had recruited for decades, more than I had at that time, and so on and so forth. And we collected a bunch of data and put some systems together. And I know you preach a lot about systems, Jason. And that's what we did. We put a lot of systems together with the recruiting so that we were messaging and doing it, everything we could just to peel back the onion and get the best odds of getting somebody to the interview table that was qualified, hired, and then kept for as long as possible. And so we never envisioned doing it for other companies. That was just for our company, Blue Skies. And we had a couple buddies that reached out to us and were asking us how we're finding people. And the next thing we know, long story short, we started recruiting, and we've recruited for thousands of cleaning companies around the country.
Awesome. So I hope it's saying it's giving me an echo. I'm trying to fix it on my end. I hope that fixes that. I'm working on the soundboard here. Pressure washing by Avery, 16-year-old washer out of Atlanta, Georgia. You know what's cool about that is you got a pretty cool competitor there that's not much older than you doing $3.5 million. And he started out just like you. And that's the cool thing that you're able to do with this as a pressure washing business. All right. So let's get this road on. Let's get the show on the road started of how, when do I need to know, when should I hire my first employee? You know, a lot of times we don't know that. This is probably the biggest question that I get of when should I hire my first employee? And then my next question is going to be is which person should I hire first?
I don't know if there's one answer to that. I think you kind of got the chicken and egg a little bit. Do you have the capital to do it? It depends on where you're at with your business and your business life cycle, if you will. But I know that the sooner that you can get out of the truck, if this is your goal, some people want to stay in the truck and love doing that. But if your goal is to get out of the truck and step away from the day-to-day activity of cleaning every single day, the sooner you get somebody hired and trained up to take over your position of what you're doing, the sooner you're going to be able to grow your business. That's my view on it. The sooner the better, in my view. So that answers that question.
Yes. And I always like to put the analogy as of, you know, you working a $20 an hour task versus you could be working on a $100 an hour task or $1,000 an hour task. And a lot of times we think that the reasons why we don't hire people is because what's the number one reason why we don't hire people? Can anybody tell me why we don't hire people? Because they can't do it as good as I can, right? I mean, that's what we think. And so that's an important thing as we grow this business. So, you know what? Do we have the things in place to make that happen? All right. So the second part of the question is who should we hire first?
Well, my view is that you need to hire a technician first. You need to hire the person that's going to be replacing you. So if you're in the field, and you're washing and you're cleaning and you're scrubbing, you probably want to have somebody replace that position so you can step away. And then as you do that and as you step away and build a team, so you need a lead to take over your position to run the field. And then you need to grow the field operations out there with technicians. That's my view on it. And then, you know, you do what you – I don't know of anybody that gets into business because they love recruiting. I've never heard, it's about, you know, we don't go into business because we love bookkeeping, right? And it's not what we do. So if I could say one thing that I'd love, and we've changed our mindset on this, Jason, this will help maybe people understand the mindset. And I hate using that word because it's overused a lot, but anytime I use it, I want to give it some depth. If you give me a sentence and it has the word marketing in it, I'll take that word marketing out of that sentence and I'll replace it with recruiting. And it'll work in every single sentence. So marketing, we're all marketers. What do we brag about, right? How many trucks we have on the road? What's our revenue? How many clients? That's all revenues. That's all demand. That's all client stuff. I got news for you. I think a residential pressure washer can go out and produce over $100,000 of revenue for you. $150,000, $170,000 of revenue for you. One technician, okay? Do you have a residential client that pays you $100,000+ a year? I don't think so. So you tell me who the biggest sale of your life is. Is it a hire or is it a client? In my view, if you can take the mindset, it's the biggest sale of your life to hire a technician. And to me, that changed our mindset big time.
One thing that I hear a lot is because, you know, when should I hire this person? Do I hire him? You know, if you're making $50,000, $60,000, you're probably not ready for an employee, right? That's not the time that we're going to be looking for an employee. And so even if you're at $100,000, you know, if you got to pay this dude $15 an hour, that's $30,000. And you're only at $100,000, that's 30% of your money right there. And that's not even the true cost of it. You know, a $15 an hour employee is going to end up costing you, what, probably $25 by all said and done. $25 an hour time you pay payroll tax and you pay all the other bull crap that goes along with it. And so that's something that a lot of people don't understand as when they should hire this person. And so that's kind of the reason why I went down that road of doing when you should hire this person, because this is one of the probably the most important thing to do. Now, here's when we should be hiring them. Maybe we haven't grown our business to $100,000. Maybe we are in the first couple years or first couple months and we're doing really good and we're booked out 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks out. Then maybe we can start hiring and putting that person in there and start growing. If you are in that situation, what is a good rule of thumb of having money back or being able to keep paying that employee?
What's a good rule of thumb? You're asking a bookkeeper question. I'm a recruiter, man. A good rule of thumb to be able to pay that guy back, I guess it would be...
Not so much to pay him back, but I'm going to hire this person, and I don't really have the money, but I want to hire him. How can I make sure that I'm paying him? You know, I always said I would like to have about two months worth of salary of that person. So that way, even if, because in the beginning, you might not be busy 5 days a week.
Right. You might not be. It all depends on your business, where you're at with your life cycle and your business and what your goals are. I mean, that's one. I'm in the view, if you're trying to aggressively grow your business, you do not want to overextend yourself. And I think that's what the caution is, right? I don't know if the answer is 2 months. I don't know if the answer is 3 months. I think an easy answer might be if you're not in a hurry and it's not a demanding, pressing thing to hire a full-time employee right away, a technician, maybe you spend a little bit of time engaging and putting ads up for a part-time position, and that might be a good way to start. I'm not a big fan of part-time employees, but if you have a truthful conversation with somebody that's looking for some extra money or that you can time it up in the summertime with a college student or something like that, at least until you build up enough revenue stream and like Jason just said, a couple months in the bank, then you can start to look for that full-time person.
All right. So we talked about the beginning. Now let's talk about the real life of people that are starting to grow their business. And I had to hit on the rookie side first. But all right. So we got to the point and now we're trying to find employees. What's the first thing we should start looking at when we're looking for employees?
My view is this is a big one and it's boring. But research your labor market. Again, when we start a business, we'll take a look around to see what our competition's charging. We take a look around, are there enough clients in this area? Are we getting enough business? We need to do those sort of things as well and take a look at what your competition's doing with job ads on Indeed or Facebook or whatever it is. See what they're offering. See what the competition is offering because you want to find people that want a job that they're going to like. And it's hard to do. You don't have to have healthcare benefits and a 401k. You don't have to have those things, all right? And I got news for you. By the way, we all have a retirement plan. It's called Social Security that we pay in as business owners. So we all have a retirement program. But there's little things you can do that cost 20, 30, 40 bucks a month, like telehealth now, telemedicine. That's huge. We had that at Blue Sky Services and people used it. I mean, they could get prescriptions that way and all kinds of things. So there's creative things like that that you can do. But research your labor market. You can go on Indeed and find out what the keywords are that job seekers are putting into Indeed when searching for a job. Those keywords should be in your job titles and job descriptions. The first thing I would do, though, before I spend any money on job boards and that sort of thing, is I do the old boots on the ground stuff. If you go to a church on Sunday, talk it up over there, find it, and just engage with people there. If you where do these people hang out? Where do you hang out, right? And the boots on the ground thing. If you put marketing, it's all we're doing. If you put a yard sign in somebody's yard and you've been doing that for a year. Get a QR code on the one side. It's free. You're already putting a sign up, basically. You're not adding to it. And have that QR code or your phone number or whatever it is so that it's for employment, hiring. Call here. Put those signs up. You can start out really inexpensive. Get a Facebook page up. That's free still. YouTube's free still. Get out like that. But boots on the ground, talking with people. Put something in your truck that has help wanted. You know, there's a lot of free ways that you can start to recruit if that's what you're looking to do.
All right. So we have gotten to the point that we realize that we want to hire. We've done some research to see what benefits that we could maybe offer or what other people are offering. Next thing, you kind of hit on it already, but where do I go to find people at? Where do I go to find good quality people at?
Yep. I would say Indeed is probably the number one job board that's used. I would say Craigslist in some parts of the country is working really well. Not all, but some parts. And most people don't know how to use Craigslist, and I could touch on that here soon. And then Facebook. Facebook is a great place to find employees. Is it easy to find employees, and is every one of them going to be great? Absolutely not. You need to start there, though, and you can every single one of those you can start free except Craigslist. Craigslist is $20, $30, $40 depending on where you're at in the country. So you can start cheap there, but those are the places you want to be. One of the big things, again, it's marketing. Your job title and job description, one of the things that I see is that there's a little bit too much trying to qualify in those type of things. And we could talk about that in a minute. But that's the starting grounds. Indeed, Facebook, and then Craigslist.
Let's talk about qualifying and what is a good person, right? Do we want someone that is experienced and they've done all this pressure washing? Or is it better to find someone like a Chick-fil-A that has good work ethic and good attitude? And how can we put this into an ad that can help us get that better employee?
First, I've seen it both ways, and I've seen it work both ways, hire experienced and not experienced. But by far, I have seen the I don't need experience and don't want experience work really, really, really well compared to hiring somebody with experience. It's you got to break them of old habits. Sometimes they think they know it all. That type of thing. It's worked, but I'm in the corner of finding somebody that has that matches who you are, who your business is, what your culture's like, and what your vision is. If it's got to mix into there, we all want somebody that's going to show up to work. Okay. I mean, the easy ones, I want somebody reliable. I want somebody that's this, I want somebody that's that. But you got to be careful with your job ads, because your job ad, I get the kick out of, I want somebody that's really well spoken. And I'm thinking, are they hiring somebody to say Shakespeare or something in the park? What does that even mean? I'd rather have somebody that's reliable. I don't care if they've got a twang or a this or a that or a lisp or whatever, as long as they're polite and kind to my clients and treat them properly. Well spoken. I don't speak well. I don't have good grammar. I say ain't. Okay. That's just the way it is. So that's my view on that. But I don't like hiring experienced people. I've seen it and it's worked out for a while. It very rarely works out in the long run where you want somebody to stick with you for a couple of years, in my view, from what I see around the country.
And I think this is something that, you know, it's back to thinking old ways, because the old ways was you hired more on experience and all of that kind of stuff, yep. You know, and honestly, you know, a lot of us old guys don't like to hire the younger generation because we think that they're lazy, or we don't know how to handle the people. And, you know, when you were growing up, you went to work because you went to work and because you had to have a paycheck. Now they just go to work to maybe get a paycheck. They don't care anymore as much as they used to. And so it's one of those things that we have to know how to handle people and how to be a good leader. That's something I've been pushing a bunch here is if you suck as a leader, you're never going to get good employees because you're going to run them right out the door as fast as they come in. And so if you don't know how to lead, that's the very first thing that you got to start figuring out how to do this. This is a good question. Experience equals more payout, good work ethic, less payout. And that's, I don't know if I would agree with that, because if someone's experienced, usually their experience of what they want to do, and it's kind of like what Sean said, is then they get in habits and they won't actually listen and follow protocols and follow SOP, you know, follow the checklist, because they're going to do it their way because that's the way they've always done it. So once we have gotten Indeed and we're starting to get leads in, what is the application review process that we need to start looking at to see if this is the right person or the wrong person?
I want to address F-Bomb's comment about the QR code. You may be right that there's not a lot of people that are going to stop off at a yard and see a QR code. But if you have one in 30 yards or 20 yards or 10 yards, that's called branding and repetition. And anybody that knows marketing and sales knows that you've got to tap somebody maybe 7 to 13 times before they even remember your name. So it has a lot to do with branding. It's not a silver bullet by any means. But I've got clients that have it on business cards. They have it on their shirts. They have it on their trucks. And I'll tell you now, QR codes work. As far as the application process, with me, I've got a couple different categories that we use and our clients use. And the screening process that we use and the application process we use, it has a scoring system. And I'm a big believer in a scoring system with it. But here's the three categories that are most important in my view. The first category that we screen for on an application is, how long are you going to last with our company? That's what I'm trying to dig and find. And when we put our screening system together and our scoring system together years ago, we collected a lot of data to back this up. So I'll give you a very specific example of how we try to figure this out. Again, it's not a silver bullet, gang. It's all about increasing the odds at every step of the way of the process of recruiting. And the more you increase the odds, in every little thing you do, whether it's a bunch of QR codes, the messaging, all those things, it's increasing the odds. So here's a question. We ask the question on an application, out of these three things, what would upset you the most if you got this job? It's a drop-down menu on their phone or computer. It's an online application. They need to choose one of our three. I know the best answer, not based on Sean's gut feeling, based on our data. I know the okay answer, and I know the worst answer. And so here's the question again, and I'll give you the worst answer. Out of these three things, what upsets you most if you got this job? One of the answers they can answer is, somebody's always late to work, and the owner or manager never says a word about it. And on the surface, that seems like a very reasonable answer. The problem is that when we ask that question, and it's hold true for most of our clients, okay, those that answer that answer, that the owner manager doesn't say a word about it when somebody's late, they only last on average about 9 months or less with our company. Period. End of story. That's the only thing I'm trying to find out. Okay, that's it. And we've got a series of questions that find that out. So that's one. Okay, it's proven to be true for almost every one of our clients in about 35 states that we recruit in, and different industries too. Residential home cleaning, lawn care, pressure washing, Christmas lights. Christmas lights are a little seasonal, but the other thing I try to find out is if they're a good fit for the industry. So we might ask, one of the answers might be, this is going to upset me. If my schedule said I'm going to be done at noon today or at 2 o'clock today, but all of a sudden you tell me I'm not going to get off till 5, that's a problem. Well, then you're not going to be a good fit for this industry, because you don't get off at 4:30 every day and you're home at 5. Okay. Here's one, though, that's very unique, and this is an easy one to figure out. We want to know if they understand business to at least some extent. And I'm talking technicians now that are out cleaning stuff for us. I don't expect them to write our SWOT analysis or a marketing strategy for our company. We try to find people that might know somebody that's owned a business. Maybe their mom and dad owned a business. Maybe their uncle worked at a pizza place, or they worked for their uncle that owned a pizza place. Maybe their best friend owned their parents owned a company. What we find is when we find technicians that understand business or have known business owners, we find four really cool things that can come to the surface. One is they tend to be, we tend to not have to babysit them as much. They were really tight with the business owner. They were trained and they knew that they needed to take care of things. Okay. Number two, they tend to be better problem solvers. They have better judgment. If there's one thing that business-minded people do every single day, it's solve problems. That's all we do all day long is try to solve problems, right? So imagine hiring somebody that's a good problem solver. They're going to be managing things for you one day. The third thing is they tend to be more loyal. And this is, I don't have data on this, but my anecdotal gut feeling on this is if Joe knows somebody that owns a business or it was an uncle or their parents, they know that 99.9% of us work ungodly hours. We work super hard. We truly care about our good employees and we really care about our clients and our community. That creates a sort of empathy, which creates loyalty. And the fourth one is they tend to sometimes, not all the time, but they might even come along with some good leadership skills. And our view is if we get two out of those four, we got silver. We can get three out of those four, we got gold.
So let's talk about good leadership skills, right? Because that is definitely something that I believe is one of the biggest things that is going to make you be a good business leader and a business owner. But you also got to have leaders as the head technician. You know, they're literally taking most of your all's pride and joy. And the day that it leaves the house without you in it, you about ready to cry or throw up because the truck's leaving without you. And there goes my baby and there goes my money making machine and somebody else is driving in it. And I know that feeling. I've had that feeling. It's the worst feeling you ever have, but it can also, it's also the best feeling because it's back to giving you freedom, right? Because when you're not on the truck, you can do other things like hire more people that you may need to hire. So that is something that I think that leadership is definitely something you need to look for in hiring these people. So we talked a little bit about some questions that we can ask. What's a good process? Is it good to have them ride along with you? Or is it better to try to do like a phone interview to get another interview? Because I know a lot of times you may get 10 applications, but you only get one or two show up. Should we just hire that one or two? But before we answer that question, let's go back to, you know, what's a good way to see if this person is going to work out and see if he's got work ethic or see if we're just going to let him try to talk us into it?
Well, if you've got a good application set of application questions and a scoring system that's based on data, and that takes a while to do, so most people don't have that. We do because we recruit. So in my view, the holy grail of knowing is that you're not going to know until you hire them and get them on the job. That's just the bottom line. So all you can do is increase the odds of that happening and that they turn out. And so screening questions and properly screening them. And then the biggest one of all is to me is if they've got to match your culture, your business culture and your leadership style, you've got to have them understand, you know, tell them the worst things that can happen on a daily basis. Take them through a day-to-day part of what they're going to be experiencing. The closer that you can show them, like literally, or through a presentation or through an interview or however you want to do it, the more that they're going to know what they're going to need to do day to day and those expectations are set properly, the more odds are that you're going to have them there for a longer period of time. As far as, you know, I want to go back to something you said, Jason, that I hear every single day. And that is these guys don't want to work. These young guys don't want to work. Sometimes I hear it from guys that are that age. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about, guys? You know, you're about that age, dude. You own a business. You got two employees. You're 28 years old. What are you talking about? I've got a daughter that works at a pizza place that she's been there 2 years. She's got over $11,000 saved up. She's 16 years old. Don't tell me that there's not people that don't work out there. Okay, they do. Every generation says it about the other generation that they don't want to work. Okay. Now I'll give you that we had got a different labor market. Okay. It's a super tough labor market. I'll give you that more and more of this generation don't want to do the type of blue collar work that we do. So I'll give you that, but there's still really good people out there. And I can tell you this, I talk to small business owners every single day. Every single day, I'm blessed to do that. And I can tell you the ones that get on the phone with me, on demos with me, or on a Zoom with me and talk about the problem. These guys don't want to work. This labor market sucks. They're so focused on the problem. But the guys that come to me and say, Sean, I know it's a tough labor market, man. That's what I hear. But what do we got to do to fix that? What do we got to do? Those are people, and I'm not kidding you, man. I hear it every single day. The ones that have their mindset on this sucks and there's always no shows and all that stuff, almost always are never going to execute on their hiring needs, buddy. And it's just that simple.
So I want to hit on this because this is a big thing, right? This goes back to, I talk a lot about this too, of mindset and talking positive to yourself and being positive and getting around positive people, right? And if you're negative, if there ain't nobody wants to work and you're talking negative, guess what kind of people you're going to be around and guess what type of people you're going to attract? The wrong type of people, right? And so it's back to not only how you talk to yourself, but how you talk about other people. You know, it's kind of like how I talk about pricing of, you know, people that can get the $2,000 average ticket versus the guy that gets a $200 average ticket. The guy that gets the $200 guy will tell me, you just don't understand, Jason. You can't get that in my market. But yet the guy that's getting $2,000 is in the exact same market. He don't know it. He's too dumb to know that because he's worried about, because I can't get that in my area, and being negative. And so when you are negative, that is a factor that is going to factor with you. And so back to getting hiring, you know, I've seen a lot of people that even different industries, right? This isn't just the pressure washing industry that's struggling to get people. Every industry is struggling. And so what are you doing outside the box to be able to find these people? Are you going to your high school's days of when they have career days? Are you doing things that you can go find? It's kind of like what Sean was saying about marketing, right? There you're going to trade shows or you're doing things like this. You can go to career days and start finding people in these high schools that you could start hiring them and bringing them on. Or finding, you know, a lot of you may be coaching teams or you might be coaching kids. Well, guess what? Those kids, you know which ones are the hard workers and the ones that are are there to have fun. You can go find those people and now you can start putting them to work and starting to find where they could be good at. You know, and a lot of times if you find the right people, maybe you found the right people, but you don't have them in the right job. You know, they're on the wrong part of the bus. They should be on this part of the bus, but you got them over here on this part of the bus and they suck. That's because you haven't seen their strength and how you can use their strength. They might be an amazing salesperson and they might be able to talk on the phone amazing. You hired them for a technician. You might not be able to put them here, but that's where you need to start working and transition them to spot.
I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. The thing that conquers the no-shows and the frustration of recruiting is exactly what you alluded to earlier, which is leadership. You know, think about this generation. The 30-year-old today was the first kid to have screens in their face from the day they were born. That's the first generation is about 30-ish years old, somewhere in there. Okay. They're the first ones that got
a little bit older, younger than that, because I didn't have a screen in my face until I was almost 19 or 20. So I'm going to go with 2000 kids.
I'll buy that. I just turned 56, so I'm completely out of the loop with you guys. But I do know it's right around the generation that got the screens in their face for the first time. There's also, if you showed up to the baseball field, everybody got a trophy, right? It wasn't the first place team. Everybody got a trophy. We got the helicopter parents. We got the, if they don't let them fall, you know, and all these things. So it's not necessarily this generation's fault that they're a little bit softer maybe than others. And so if that is true, And I don't know that it is, but because we hire and help hire thousands of people around the country. So I beg to tell you, it's probably not true. With that said, then it's your damn business to be better leaders, to teach these people what work ethic means, why it feels good to work hard and get rewarded for it. And showing up early is a good thing. And showing and working a little bit later is a good thing. All these things are good things. And I don't know that they were always taught that growing up. And yet they want to work really hard maybe, but they just were never taught good work ethic. That's where we come in. That's where leaders come in. So that's one thing that I wanted to piggyback what you said. The other thing is the seat on the bus. I can tell you I've made that mistake a number of times. I used to manage about 10 salespeople when I was in the corporate world for about a year. And I can tell you that I promoted somebody that was a really, really good salesperson into a sales management role. What a big mistake that was. They had no business managing people. They were good salespeople. And you can make that same thing with technicians. A phenomenal technician isn't always going to be the right person to manage people. That's a whole different skill set.
Yep, I agree on that. So this is kind of a little bit of, we've done the review process, right? We're getting them in. This is the kind of the onboarding people of what all do we need to do? And, you know, kind of how can we set up a good employee for success versus setting them up for failure?
Let me, if I could, before I answer that, talk about how we interview very quickly.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, I missed that part. Sorry.
No worries. So we treat this like it's the biggest sale of our life. We trust our screening process enough and the application process enough that, number one, if you want to end your no-shows, I can tell you a very simple way to end your no-shows, and that's to have group interviews, number one. And I get that a lot of people can't if you don't have a shop or you don't have an office. So I do understand that. There's certain restrictions with that. If you can have a group interview, I highly, highly recommend it. And you know what we do? We treat it like a sales presentation. And we've trained a lot of our clients to do this, and they're doing it with great success. Think about the messaging here. So you get somebody that qualifies on your online application. And anybody that wants help figuring out an online application or something, I'm more than happy to help you with. Get that filled out. Somebody qualifies based on your questions that you know you want to invite to an interview. So what you do is you message them and you say, hey, can you be here either Tuesday at 5 or Thursday at 5? And that's the, or maybe Wednesday at 5, and that's it. That's the only time you interview. We never tell them it's a group interview, okay? When they show up to the door, we have a name tag that says, hello, my name is Sean. What's your name? Fred? Great, Fred. Let me get a name tag on you because we're going to have a few other people showing up. I got coffee. I got energy drinks. I got some food over here. What do you need? What can I serve you? That's their first impression when they come into our office and a lot of our clients, okay? And what we do is when we're messaging them, by the way, we send them three messages. The one message says what to expect at the interview. You want to help with no-shows? Message them this. Zero questions, zero stress. It's a 20-minute presentation as to why you're going to wake up every morning and love to work with us, okay? That's it. That's the message. So we talk about old school stuff. This is revolutionary, goofy stuff, but it works. So your no-shows now. I don't want to hear another complaint about no-shows, okay? So that's how you do that. But you treat them like the president of a homeowners association coming to you saying, I've got 150 houses here. Can I come to your office tomorrow and talk to you about it? It's probably going to be about $200,000 worth of business for you. You wouldn't even sleep the night before. You'd be, you know, the office would be spotless. You'd have all kinds of food. And what can I do? Yes, sir. Come in, sir. Why don't you treat these people like that? This is the biggest sale of your life. We do. We completely change. And we do. We give them a presentation. And I'm going to go over it very quickly, very high level, very quickly what we do. We say, this is why you're here. And then we tell them, you got to tell the story, man. how we started the business. Everybody I know and I've talked to, which is thousands of business owners, every one of them has a really cool story as how they started the business. Where we're at today, where we want to be in 3 to 5 years from now, and that could be whatever your vision is. And then we say, here's our core values. Here's our culture. And as you're going, we spend a lot of time on our core values and our culture. And one example, one of our core values is positive attitude. And what we say is this: people. I don't know. Are we freezing up? Or are we good? We're good? Okay. So we tell them that this is not a platitude. It's a moral obligation. When you come to work here, you have got to have a positive attitude. This isn't a cliche. Okay? Nobody wants to come to work with somebody moaning and groaning and complaining every day. That's immoral in our view. And that's what we talk about. Now, what you're going to find, if you get 3 to 5 to 6 people, you're going to see most of them looking at their phone and looking out the window and maybe shaking their head a little bit. You're always going to have one or two that are raising their hand, asking questions, sitting up a little bit. I know because we do it, okay? And I hear the feedback from our clients that do it. So I know it works. I don't want to hear anything that it doesn't or this, that, blah, blah. It works. Trust me. And at the end of it, we tell them about pay and all the services we provide, how you can make more money and all these other things. We tell them we'll get back to you within 24 hours and let you know what's going on. And normally there's one or two people that stick around, and they're the ones that were asking questions. And they'll tell you that they've never had an interview like this. It's the craziest thing in the world. And number two, I really loved what I heard from you, man, and I hope I get the job. Now, if we really need to hire, we put our hand out and we say, you're hired. Where are you going? Subject to a few things. We got to check with our insurance company on driver's licenses and background checks. We blame it on the insurance company. And then we tell them, subject to, we want to get you started. What else do you need? If your screening process is properly put together and you get a little scoring system together, collect that data. It's going to take you a while, but it's worth it. I know it's boring, but it's going to save you tens of thousands of dollars, maybe more, in the long run. And then they tell you they love your culture and who you are and what you're all about. What else do you need? I don't know what else. Do a disc profile. Have a good time with that. That has its place. Spend some more money on screening. I don't know. Make them jump through hoops. I don't know what else you need.
No, I agree 100%. And you know what? This is something that brings that the culture, and it brings that it shows you that you're a good leader at that point of wanting people there, right? That's the whole goal, is how do we want people there? I want to hit on Tristan, this is something I seen a video the other day of bashing this, but to my young guys, as a young guy myself, Tristan 24, he did $200,000 or $175,000 this past year out of Dallas. As a young guy myself, the easiest way you can separate yourself is by doing more than what's required. You know, and it's going a step above. And guess what? This is how you get promoted. This is how you keep moving on. And this is true 100%. But in society today, it teaches you the opposite of don't do no more than what you're expected to do. Just do the bare minimum and get by. And guess what? That's why you will probably never move up or never go anywhere when you want to go here.
My money's on Tristan. He's a smart man. We have a question in our screening process that's almost trying to uncover that exact same thing. Are you getting paid? Do you want to get paid what you're worth or what you're going to be worth? Or and I can't remember the other answer. And that's exactly what his point is.
Yep. And then David Hamill put in here, you get what you pay for, hire the best, pay the best, treat them the best. Don't yell at them, hold them accountable, and reward them for doing extra. Good company culture attracts the best people.
That sums it up right there, yep.
Pretty much sums it up. So we talked a little bit about when should we hire. We talked a little bit about how we should hire. We talked about where we should hire people from. We talked about how to hire them in the interview process. Let's hit on a little bit about what to set a person up for success, what should we give them a roadmap of our, or how should we set them up for success so that they will want to come back over and over and over?
Yep. I think first impressions are really important. So I think part of that interview and onboarding has, you have got to treat them like they're the biggest sale of your life. I think that you need to have a really world-class training program put together. And I think it's got to, I think the goal, in my view, of a training, a formal professional training program is that when they are left on their own, they have 100% confident that they can do every single aspect of the job. I can't tell you the confidence is the number one comfort thing, right? If you go anywhere, you start doing something, you compete against somebody else. If you're confident, that's really, it takes the fear away. It takes the more mistakes away, the hesitation away, the I don't know if I can do this away. Those expectations and confidence, as long as they have the expectations matched with what your expectations are and it's reality, not you're not overpromising, and they're trained to a point where they just have, they're bursting with confidence. That's how you have to onboard somebody as quickly as possible. Confidence, confidence. And, you know, I'm in a view where you need to teach at practice, which is training. And when they're out there in the ball game on their own, there's no time for negative anything when they're out there trying to do things. And if they make a mistake and they've done their best and they thought it was the right decision, I back them most of the time, especially early on in the game.
And that's something that I think a lot of people struggle with, is they just want to be like, why the hell did you do that for? You stupid idiot, blah, 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 right? Right out of the get-go, because they killed all the bushes, but you never told him. Well, I told him the water. Well, how did you tell him the water? You know, I think that's something, too. I noticed it with the fire department and even where my channel, I teach a lot of beginners of how to do step by step. And if you literally don't show them step by step and break it down to a third grade level of understanding of, like, a lot of times I will do one side of the valve and then the next thing all four of them are there. And they're like, well, how'd you make all of that stuff? And it's like, just do what I did here over and over and over. And I assumed that they would understand that. But you know what assuming does when we do that? And now we're going to yell at them because we didn't teach them step by step. And if you fall down, you know, when a kid starts walking, you don't beat him because he falls down. You pick him up and you send him on the way and you help him a little bit and you send him on his way. And the older he gets, he can walk a little bit more, right? It's just like an employee. Don't assume that they know how to do everything. You know, break it down to the easiest of easiest. So that way it's step by step. And some of it is literally turn this switch on. You know, when I worked at the fire department, we had people that came to become a fireman, full-time fireman, and they literally never mowed grass. They never used a weed eater. They never used a chainsaw. They literally never done anything. And so that's the type of people that we're dealing with, and how we got to teach these people of, this is how you turn the machine on. You got to turn it to the start. You got to turn it here. You got to back off. Otherwise, because in their little car they got now, they just push a button and it just starts.
That's right.
They can't overcrank it, right? But here now we can overcrank it. Yeah. And so you got to teach them the step-by-step all the way through to the end, so that way you have to do that so they can make sure they understand it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think 90% of the time, I got to blame the trainer or the owner when somebody's doing things improperly. It's a hard thing to look in the mirror sometimes when you're looking maybe at $1,000 of damage or something like that, and you start to deflect it to other people. And that's just a poor leadership. That's what it amounts to.
Back to extreme ownership, right? If you got to take ownership of why it's your fault, at the end of the day, it's your fault. You didn't put a system in place. You didn't do something. You didn't train right. You didn't do something right that caused it. And when you start blaming other people, it doesn't do no good. It's your fault at the end of it. You didn't do it. So guess what? That's why it happened.
I agree.
David put, when hiring a salesperson, I make them apply via video, making a 2-minute video, a longer video telling me why I should interview them. This is a way I see how they present themselves and not who and how, who can they sell. So tell me how you can help me get people hired and find the best talent out there for my business.
Sure. So we were actually the first ones to put together a recruiting system and a recruiting service for the home service industry, which wasn't a temp agency, a staffing agency, or as an expensive direct recruiting agency that charges ungodly amount of money. We have sort of like a subscription-based business model, number one, so it's very inexpensive to hire us. But if you set up a demo with me, what I'll do is I'll show you exactly what the system is. I've been accused by people that are coaches, consultants, and business owners that you give away the secret sauce, dude. What are you doing? And I'm like, I'm 56 years old. I'm not motivated by money. I'm here to help people, and I mean that. I will show you exactly. I've told you a few of the questions already that we ask, right? I'll go through all that stuff with you, and you've got three options at the end of my demo. One is, hey, man, I think I want to try some of this on my own internally and see if I can make it happen. And I say, high five, call me if you have any questions. No problem. The second thing that can happen is that you take a look and use our application tracking system, which is like a CRM. It's a type of program where you'll have these little workflows. Everything's automated. You don't even have to talk to a job candidate until it's about time for the interview. Everything and all the messaging and everything's audited. You can do that and have that software and use it for a monthly fee. Or what 90% of the business owners out there do is they hire us to sort of be your full-time recruiting department, which is we'll take the application tracking system. We've got it all down. And we do three things as your full-time recruiting department. You know, if you hired Joe, a recruiting director, number one, he'd cost $80,000. We don't cost $80,000. But you'd expect him to do a few things. One would be research your labor market. We'll do that for you. Number two, you'd probably say, Joe, as a recruiting director, we need a budget. What's the budget for hiring these people we need to hire? We will put together a budget. And this is what we do. We've got a little bit of a formula based on the research that we do in your labor market. We want to make sure you're competitive. We look at what others are doing and what's happening. And if you have a very, very competitive labor market, you're probably going to need to have a higher budget. If you're looking to hire three people immediately as opposed to one, you're certainly going to have to have a higher budget. So we view it with all those things and a few other things. We'll tell you, if we owned your business, this is what our budget would be to execute on your hiring needs. And then the third thing we would do, and you'd expect Joe, the recruiting director, to do is, Joe, what's the strategy here? So Joe, that's us. We're going to research. We're going to give you a budget, and we'll actually give you the strategy of what we're going to do to execute on that. So quite literally, we're going to put your job post together, get it up on the job boards, Facebook, and manage it for you. You don't even have to go in there if you don't want to. At the end of the day, we're going to vet and screen technicians or salespeople or office staff. That's what we do. And managers. We've done ops managers and general managers and everything else. At the end of the day, all you need to do pretty much is show up to an interview and hire who you want to hire. We stop at the interview process. So we get qualified people that will show up to interviews for you. It's up to you to do the interview and choose who you want to hire. We've talked about interviewing people for our clients, but we've always been really hesitant in doing that because we feel that you need to start building the relationship at that point. They need to hear from you about the company, not from a recruiting guy, right? They need to hear it from you. It's time you take the hand, you take them from there and build that relationship.
Rick Nye says, this is great stuff. I need to hire two technicians, two territory managers, and an office manager by March. Let's hit on that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Let's hit, being that we're getting to the point of starting our busy season, especially for a lot of the guys that are growing and need to get hiring. when's a good time that start hiring for people so we can have people in here by March, April, when stuff starts getting very busy?
There is no doubt in my mind that most people do it too late. Okay. January right now, probably a week ago, was the time you should start if you want to get ramped up by March and in April. And for a number of reasons. Okay. Number one, if you Google it, you're going to find that that is the most fluid, best time of the year to recruit. For our market, the blue collar kind of market, you got warehouses that are really bulked up because of the holidays at the end of the year, retail, all these other places are bulked up at, by the, you know, they're trying to really get the drive. There's more drivers hired. There's more blue collar guys hired. And then they get laid off in January because the holidays are gone. Now we don't need you delivering and at the warehouse and all these other places. Right. So January is also the best time, in my view, to find A employees. Think about this for a minute. Most people that come to look for that's why they're going to apply for a job for something outside. Like I'm frozen. Am I freezing?
Yeah, you're freezing. Whenever you start moving, it freezes. So quit moving.
It's hard for me not to talk with my hands. I'll stop. I got them clasped under my legs. How's that?
Now you're good. You're good now.
So if okay, picture an A employee for a minute and his what he's thinking about and who we want to hire. We want to hire people that are good planners. They're understanding what they want to do. They're convicted what they want to do, and they're smart enough to not sit on a couch and watch Netflix all day. In January, they want to make sure they're securing a job in the springtime. A C employee that is a procrastinator, that doesn't really plan ahead much, that might get up off the couch in the morning, but kind of milking that unemployment check a lot, that C employee is going to wait till the last minute to really be hunting down a job. The other thing, very important, you've got this thing we call supply and demand in everything, right? So, okay? Your labor market, okay, and A employees are looking for jobs in January. The supply is up in January. So good employee supply is up. And your competitors, for the most part, haven't started recruiting yet because, like a lot of people watching this, wait until February and the end of February, maybe you start recruiting. So then you're going to have a lot of demand coming in and the supply is soaked up, and you're going to have to boost and sponsor more and more and more the longer you wait because more of your competitors are going to be going on Indeed and spending money on boosting and sponsoring. And that's all Indeed and Facebook is. If you're paying for job ads, it's an auction. Whoever pays the most for the most clicks gets the top spot. And that's basically how it works. You're going to spend thousands more if you wait until February, end of February, to start recruiting for less qualified candidates.
Right. I'm in there interviewing my first person tomorrow as a crew member, and this one here is definitely true. Always be hiring even when you don't need help. Always David be knows. Always be looking for that person. Might be at the Chick-fil-A, might be at the restaurant. Yeah. You never know who might show up that you need them, and they may be a rock star. But if you're not always – it's kind of back to always networking, right? You're always trying to find that person for the next person that it may be.
Just like marketing, right? That's what we do with marketing. We just keep trying to engage with them and send things out. And you know, we've all chosen to be in a high turnover industry. This has been a high turnover industry for 30 years or more. It's a high turnover industry today. I'll bet my daughter's savings account that she built up in the pizza place that in 30 years it'll be a high turnover. It doesn't mean you need to be short staffed. That's different. And to David's point, because he hit the home run tonight, if you're recruiting and you're always recruiting, always interviewing, even if you don't need to hire, when that guy doesn't show up and you just did an interview a couple days ago, now you got somebody to hire. When that guy breaks his ankle on the job, gets a DUI and tells you he doesn't have a license anymore, when those things happen, you want to have already interviewed a couple people. And I've heard, well, what do we tell them when we don't need to, if they, one, there's no law that says you can't interview if you're not hiring. Number two, if it's an ultra rock star, as we call them, and they blows you away, I highly suggest you, if you can, to get them hired and worry about the marketing later. You can get customers advanced in your business. But I definitely, you know, it's about building and engaging these people, like you said. And what's the worst case scenario if you hire these people? They're not, if they're looking for a pressure washing job in Minnesota, I assure you that they don't think they're going to be pressure washing in February. They're going to be ice fishing, but they're smart. They're looking for a job. What's the worst case? You got to take them to lunch a couple times. You got to say, hey, let me show you around the shop. I know you're not starting. If you've got time, and maybe even pay them a little bit, let me buy you lunch. Build that relationship. That's the worst case scenario.
David, but you can always replace a C or B member with a new A member.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. All right. Always be recruiting.
Where can they find more information about you, Sean?
Website, HireLeadChill, HireLeadChill.com. And then just if you look for a demo button or something, just click on that. You'll get my calendar. And if you want to talk about recruiting, we can. If you want to talk about leadership, we can. I don't give a shit what you want to talk. Anything you want to talk about, I'll talk with you. I don't care. If you want to see our system, I'll show you the system.
That's the thing I like about Sean. He don't care. He's kind of like me. Just I want to see people grow, and I want to see them be successful. Yep. And I know I'll get mine on the way. Well, thank you for coming on tonight. I appreciate it. I always like to ask this question. I haven't had nobody on. What's a book that you've read that has helped you grow your business, or do you read any?
I do, but I've read a lot of, I haven't read a business book in a while. I'm reading a lot, about being in the now, about being present, about listening, about accepting people as they are in the world as it is. You know, my kids ask me, Dad, what's the secret to being happy, man? And I've got the answer. And for me, the answer is, if I accept the world as it is and the people in it as they are, not how I think they should be, but if I accept it the way it is, what struggle do I have with anybody? What do I have to struggle with? I've accepted the world as it is. Doesn't mean you don't want to go out there and make changes and do good things. And, you know, if somebody, you know, solves the problem of cancer and all those things, obviously those are all good things. But I think as small business owners, we can get stressed out. And I've been there. You know, I've been self-employed for almost 35 years. I've stared at the ceiling and haven't slept and wondering how I'm going to wake up the next day. I've been there, man. I've bled through that. Trust me. I know how that is if you guys have been through that. But I'm telling you, the more – one of my favorite sayings, and I think it was Mark Twain, is my life was full of a lot of worry, most of which never came true. What a waste of energy and time, man.
I agree.
I would buy, if you're starting out, I'd buy E-Myth real quick, though. If you're looking into leadership, anything by John Maxwell, I think, is phenomenal. Henry Clay is really good. I can name a whole bunch more. Some of the new stuff I haven't grabbed a new one in a while, and I probably should. Rocket Fuel, read that, and Traction and all that.
Yeah, I'm actually reading How to Win Friends and Influence Others right now. I've never
read that. That's been around for 30 years.
Maybe good 40 book, or 50.
Maybe. Good book, though. You're on it, baby.
yeah, that's a great book. So, yep. All right, Sean. Well, I appreciate y'all coming on tonight. Hope y'all have a great night. Again, go check out kingofpressurewash.com. I have everything in there to grow, start and grow your pressure washing business. If you need a website, I can get you taken care of there also. I also have Zoom calls every Monday night when you're a member of King of Pressure Wash. There's about 20 to 30 awesome entrepreneurs that show up, that faithfully show up every week, and they are growing their business. And so it is a one on, it's kind of a 1-on-10 coaching call with me if you want any coaching from me. You bring your questions, I answer them. And like Tristan, you know, as a young guy, he used to be a landscaper. He started following me doing this stuff. And like I said, this year he did, I think he's just right at $200,000, which is pretty amazing for a young 24-year-old entrepreneur. Yeah. And so that's what I do. I am going to have some in-person classes. So if you're just starting out trying to learn, it's a hands-on class. You actually get to put your hands on it. You can go check it out also at kingofpressurewash.com there, and you'll find, go to the in-person tab and you'll find more there. Awesome, Sean. Well, hold on a second and we'll jump off here. All right, guys, that is all the time we have for today's show on the King of Pressure Wash podcast. I know you found this as exciting as I did. If you appreciate the work we do it here at King of Pressure Wash, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And give this episode a 5-star review. I would appreciate it very much. This helps me get to other people so that they can be successful just like you can be also. And if you're looking to start and grow your own pressure washing business to give you and your family financial freedom, time freedom, be sure to sign up at thekingofpressurewash.com so you can be the king of pressure washing in your area.